Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
But they're a lesbian, so maybe it's a gay lesbian thing.
Okay.
It's just a lesbian thing, you know?
You're not a lesbian, though.
A lesbian said I was a lesbian, so...
That doesn't make you a lesbian. I think it makes me a lesbian.
So are you saying that you, a straight man, are a better judge of a who's a lesbian than a lesbian?
No,
are you saying that a straight white male is right?
First off, not straight. Second off, sure.
Okay, a straighter white male...
Sure.
...is correct while lesbians not?
No, I think it's not part of being a lesbian inherently part being a woman. Otherwise,
I thought it was, but apparently, according to her,
it's a lifestyle.
According to her, I check literally every other box, so she's giving it to me.
Oh,
according to her, that's the only thing that isn't checked on my form is a woman.
But I think that is the important thing that needs to be checked. But you know what?
I think you're really kind of enforcing gender hierarchies and like sexual ideas. I think it's much more freeform than that.
Sure. I'll shut the fuck up. Introduce the show.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. You're joined by me, as always, Matthew Olenchek, the straight white male lesbian of America. I'm the only one, baby. And I'm joined, as always, by my straight white male, not a lesbian, Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
What an intro. I'm doing all right. How are you?
You know, being a gay queen.
Oh, my God.
Brat summer.
Do you have to be gay to celebrate Brat summer?
No, you have to be a woman, which I guess being a lesbian also qualifies me for. So.
Oh, my God. Okay.
it's like informal logic where you can bullshit your way into a position that you need this qualifier for this to be true, but you can just take the statement and get to the point where it has the qualifier. Did you take formal logic?
Forever ago.
I'll always remember it because technically this is not an apple, or this is an apple. This is not an apple. Dogs are cats is a logically sound statement.
Oh, okay.
It's a false one. It's a logical fallacy. But the way formal logic works, you can write that out and it's
because
correct.
A doesn't equal to B.
Yeah.
B equals to C or whatever the fuck it ends up.
If you have two contradicting statements, anything can be true, which is what Aleister Crowley said.
Oh,
about
nice.
Having the two contradicting viewpoints in your mind at the same time gives you great power.
Hell yeah. So this week, I brought the movie this week. It's Ben Affleck's 2010 bank robbery heist movie, The Town. What?
I'm going to start by saying I didn't dislike this movie. I liked it enough. It just wasn't like my type of movie.
Sure, 1,000%.
I think it's a good movie.
Sure.
I think I would have liked it if it was more of a bank heist robbery movie. And like less of a weird, sappy love story. And you can do the balance. Baby Driver does the balance.
Sure.
But I wanted more crime.
We had like...
There's a lot of good crime in this movie, but I'd say the majority of it is either like, A-O, oh, A-A-A, pretty lady, and like...
Is that your Boston accent?
Yeah, I don't know how to do Boston. I don't know how to do one.
Okay.
Hey, Boston, I don't know. Okay. You just kind of sound like Bill Burr, right? You just kind of yell a lot.
Sure.
Hey, pretty lady. Yeah, there you go. And like then the other like third, that's like a third of the movie. The other third is, oh it's rough being a bank robber, isn't it?
I don't know. I love this movie. I love it a lot.
Like, I really love the crime segments. When crime is happening, and even when it's him struggling with being a bank robber at the beginning, like him being the nice bank robber, being like, hey, take your time. Yeah, 100%. That's how you do a bank robbery, because it's not their money. Bank robbery has potential to be the least violent major crime a person can do, because you really don't need to do violence to do a bank robbery, because you can be like, hey, it's not your fucking money.
And you're insured.
And you're insured, and I have a gun. Let's just all be chill about this. Like if someone robs a bank and no one gets shot, I'm like, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I have no strong emotional reaction to it. I'm like, oh, they robbed a bank. Wow. Wild. It only hurts the banks.
I was going to say, I think I want to agree with that statement.
It only hurts like the banks and the shitty parts of government.
Yeah. It's like stealing from corporations.
Yeah, you're just stealing from like corporate. You're stealing from insurance companies.
Yeah, which are worse than corporations.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Steal as much of their money as you want.
Honestly, I had initial hesitancy, but then the moment I thought about it in any rational...
A group of all Ben Affleck-style bank robbers... Robert Banks, I don't give a shit. The only people being hurt are the fucking insurance companies. Drain them dry. I don't give a shit.
Or the people who think they're cowboys and want to fucking like get it like casualties.
Yeah. You know? Also, stop trying to be a hero when a bank robbery is happening. That's what I've never understood.
Me neither. It's not my money. I don't care.
It's not your money, and you're not gonna get anything from stopping it. What, you think the bank's gonna pay you?
No.
You might be in the paper, but there's better ways to be in the paper.
Exactly.
It's like it's like the shittiest hero you can be. Oh, you saved the insurance company.
Oh.
Kudos to you. Like, fuck off.
Honestly.
Just lay on the ground for a bit.
I first was a hard agree. I've officially transitioned to hard agree. It was a soft agree. Now it's a hard agree.
It's a good crime.
Yeah.
As long as you're not being violent with it, it's a good crime. It's like that guy that stole a bunch of diamonds, who's now he does like the crime things, you know? He's a famous bank diamond robber guy.
Okay.
He does like you know, like the, who does the fucking Google search videos? They have a celebrity on.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Wired, maybe?
Yeah, Wired, yeah.
It's like those brands of videos where they have people on, it's like experts, like they're like, oh, ask a mortician or something like that.
Yeah.
And this guy who like, robbed a bunch of banks, but like he never killed anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so I mean, I don't care. They go, he punched someone once. Okay, cool. People punch people over sports.
Yeah, I've punched someone.
Yeah, it's
once.
I beat a kid's face in once. I was in middle school.
I didn't beat his face in. I just the dude threw a punch and I threw one back and then it was over.
I fell and scraped my knee. I was like, ouchie. And then he laughed at me, and the idea that he laughed at me, this man who couldn't read his own name, he was special needs, this idea that this guy couldn't read his own name.
Beat up a special needs kid?
Yeah, he's also a dick.
Yeah, oh, sure, agree, okay.
He's also, like, just truly a bad person who's rude and mean to everyone.
You can be disabled and a dick, correct?
Yeah, like... Couldn't read his own name. And I'm like, the idea that this guy's laughing at me filled me with such rage. I got really close to breaking his nose. And I was like 80 pounds at that point. But I was just filled with so much Polish rage. It took like three teachers to pull me off.
How much trouble did you get in?
Yeah, like maybe suspended for a week.
Oh, okay.
No biggie. I don't think the teachers liked him. Really a dick.
That sounds like it.
I wasn't like, I remember once, he's like, I can read. He's like, no, you can't. And he wrote like his name on the board. He's like, what does this say? And he was like, he didn't know he was lying. He's clearly trying to like figure it out. He's like, that's your fucking name. That's your fucking name.
All of the bank robbers you think in this movie can read, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these bank robbers can read.
Okay.
Despite the FBI agents say.
That's the thing.
They do a lot to make the FBI seem bad because they need an antagonist. Like, I don't support cops really at all. I support the FBI Major Crimes Division, like Violent Crimes Division.
Sure,
like, if the FBI is involved because someone's shooting, like, an automatic weapon,
yeah,
they have my support. Yeah. It's like how any the FBI people who go after, like, mass killers? Yeah, no, we need those people. Like, he's right this entire movie, just because Ben Affleck feels bad about it. He's still hanging out with a guy who's killing people.
Yeah. There was an incident downtown a couple months ago where someone randomly like took a gun and like bashed a dude's teeth in and then put the gun in his mouth and was like, give me all your money. And then he robbed the dude.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later at the bar, police came in to like, get statements, and all of like a bunch of the people at the bar were like, fuck you, pig. And I kind of wanted to be like, I don't like the cops.
Yeah.
But like, this is kind of unnecessary. Yeah. He's kind of doing the right
like,
thing.
I'm willing to talk to a cop if they're like, hey, you watched a guy get a gun pointed at them.
He got his jaw broken and then a gun shoved into his broken jaw.
Yeah, like maybe, I don't know, maybe we should just show them that, hey, people are willing to work with them when they actually do their jobs.
Yeah.
Because, like, Brandon thinks we don't need cops at all. I think we should disband and rebuild and name it the Safety Friends. Have I told you this idea?
No, go for it.
So my idea for how to fix police problems in America is we fire everybody. We do it in stages, obviously, because you can't fire all police at the same time. That'd be chaos. But, like, you work on it, right? You just kind of get everyone out of the system, and they can reapply, right? But it's the Safety Friends is what they're called now. And they wear, like, bright yellow uniforms with like smiley faces.
Uh-huh.
And like, I think legally when they show up, they have to say, hey, it's the Safety Friends, we love you and we want to help. And then you're only gonna get people who actually want to do the things that cops are supposed to do, because like someone who just wants to like beat up the less powerful is not willing to put on their happy time uniform, that's what it's called, and be a safety friend and tell people. Like, even if a bank robbery is happening, you have to say it's the law and say, hey, we're here to help. We love you. They're not going to do that. And Brandon was like mocking this idea. I'm like, it would work.
But so the, okay.
Yeah.
I sense
questions.
I want to believe in it.
Yeah.
Outside of they have to say we're the Safety Friends, I love you, that they have to have a tiny bit of embarrassment. What's supposed to deter bad people from going through the tiny bit of embarrassment to abuse power?
Bad people who abuse power cannot condone tiny bits of embarrassment. People in power who are in power to be bullies can't deal with any amount of embarrassment. Like, look how angry fucking Elon Musk gets over when someone just like makes fun of him online. Sure. They go nuclear. All these people who are bad people in power go absolutely batshit insane, angry. Like, if I started like an online campaign where I'm like, Elon Musk never fucked Grimes. He had to come into a spoon and put it in there and say the train's coming in because he just can't get it hard. He's a small peepee. He would do everything in his power to get me kicked off every platform. He might try to sue me. Like, bullies.
What? Okay. No, I, okay. Sorry.
What part didn't you understand? The feeding the vagina like it's a kid, or?
Yes. Like, why wouldn't you? That never mind. Never mind. It's not important. Go
well,
on.
Well, see,
with
that's something Elon Musk would say. He's like, if I was going to do that, I would do through science in a lab. I'm like, no, you're a little baby boy who needs to feed the vagina because you're afraid of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I could just stupid stuff. You just say stupid stuff about them. He would try to sue me. Like, people in power who are bullies cannot stand any amount of embarrassment. And the fact that they'd have to put on a uniform that's bright yellow with big smiley faces on it and say, hey, we're the Safety Friends, we're here to help and we love you, they wouldn't be willing to do it. They wouldn't drink Bud Light because the Bud Light
said, gave a single can to a trans person.
Yeah, you think they're going to be willing to say, hey, buddy, say I love you to another man?
I would want to see this implemented on a small scale, because I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not saying like it would solve the problem completely. It would do a lot of work.
You know what?
It would do a lot of work.
I can be convinced.
Because you still have like internal investigations and stuff. But at that point, you're dealing with a lot. Because people who are willing to go join the Safety Friends, like if you're like, because like it's not cool. People think cops are cool. Those people do. It's like that person on Tinder who was a cop I saw, who she's like posing on her cop car with a gun. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. But they like to think they're like cool and tough.
Sure.
And so they have to wear, I imagine maybe the uniform is a bit puffy too. I'm imagining it'll look like a child show presenter. So maybe there's like a little like cardigan vest over it or something, like a Mr. Rogers.
A little bulletproof cardigan vest.
Yeah, like you want to look like you went to like the land of make-believe, and it's what the cops look like on there.
So, okay.
Maybe to start with, we put like little hard antennas on their hats.
It's hard antennas or wheelie fans.
Yeah. I want them with a little beanie. They're the way little beanies with propellers on them.
Yes.
The point is...
Wheelie fans, fucking propeller. That's the fucking...
Jesus Christ. But the point is that you look at these people, and visually, they're not intimidating, and you don't respect them visually. But they still have guns, and they're there to do their fucking jobs, you know? And the people who are willing to put up with that are people who are like, yeah, this sucks. My wife makes fun of me a bit, like, good-naturedly. But I'm doing a needed public service. Because the bullies join cops because it's a promise of power and they think it's cool.
Yeah.
As soon as you take that away from them, they don't want to be cops anymore.
In theory, I want to agree with you. Actually, in theory, I completely agree with you. In practice, I would want to see this implemented.
I think
on
it,
a small
at the
scale.
Very least, it would lessen the shittiness enough that you could actually do serious reform from the inside.
Sure. Yes.
Like, I'm not saying it's a fix-all Band-Aid.
I was like, I think it's a Band-Aid on a bullet hole, however.
It's a platform to build a better police force, is you take away the thing that draws the shitty people in.
Okay.
And then they're like, oh, I'm wearing my cool tactical gear. Now you're wearing your little bulletproof vest that looks like a fucking cardigan.
So, have we...
Your gun looks like a caterpillar. Like, I'm not saying we turn all guns into caterpillars, but specifically the guns they use have to look like caterpillars. And maybe legally, when they reload, they have to announce, I'm feeding the caterpillar. Just make them light up shoes. Just make them mockeries of what they look like. And you're going to get a lot less shitty people. Because a lot of people only join because they think it's cool and tough. And I'm a tough cop guy and you have to respect me. No, I don't. You have a caterpillar on your hip. We have not talked about the movie at all. No, we got in and we started talking about cops.
Yeah. So
you can start at the beginning. We haven't touched on a goddamn thing.
Okay. So this movie begins with right before a bank heist. They're in masks at this point.
Yeah.
They don't take the mask off till after. As Ben Affleck is basically being like, here's the plan. Here's the rundown.
Oh, because it does start with the cool, like, two, like, slideshow where it's this place in Boston. And this is apparently true.
Charles, the numbers are wrong. The numbers are overinflated. The thesis of the argument is correct.
It's like they produce the most bank and armored truck robbers in the country.
Yes. The numbers that they give are grossly overinflated because it's a movie. Yeah.
I told my mom this. She's like, why is it like that? I'm like, I don't know. It's Boston?
Yeah.
It's a violent city.
Yeah.
Like, part of the culture of Boston is just being hooligans. I'm not saying like violent in the way they're like, oh, cities are violent because I'm afraid of black people. No, it's hooligan behavior. It's a city of hooligans. It's like Ohio's joke is everyone wants to get out of Ohio. Boston's joke is that they like throw car batteries into the bay recreationally.
Yeah, I mean, they're thicker accented Philly.
Yeah. Like, you look at Bill Burr, and you're like, that's the nicest Boston man
the
alive.
Bostonian in the
He's
world.
The nicest Bostonian.
My mom.
And he is mean.
My mom's from Boston. It's great. I love the city. I've only been like
I'm going
to
be going for the My Chemical Romance concert.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Beachside,
I'm so
Airbnb.
Jealous.
It's going to be great.
I'm so jealous.
I want to see Boston because, you know, I played Fallout 4. Seems like a cool place. That's what I thought when they were doing the overhead shots, and they were like, this neighborhood, I'm like, oh, I was there in Fallout 4. Because all the Fallout games like aren't to scale, but you can theoretically get around Boston from having played Fallout 4 enough. Because everything's more or less in the right. It's like how like in like Assassin's Creed, like the cities are all set up pretty accurately. Like it's, so I'm like, oh, super mutant. That's me watching this movie, but I was looking for Bill Burr because I'm a fan of him.
So they're in the middle of a bank heist, and does Bill Burr still live in Boston? I thought he lived in L.A.
He moved out, but he's still very Boston.
He is still very
Boston. He was on
the Boston.
Conan show talking about, and I agree with him, because I'm a mean person. People are like, you're not mean. I'm like, no, I'm not a kind, I'm like a, what's, I'm not kind, what's the other word for that? Because I'm a mean person. I'm like
a... Kind, not nice?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because like he was talking about how he's watching The Biggest Loser with his wife, and she was getting upset because he was laughing. He's like, look, I just came back from like Africa and seen levels of poverty I couldn't imagine. And this guy's crying because he can't eat Oreos. I'm like, yeah, no, you're right. He's, I also heard, because I was listening to people talk about like digging cars out of, might have been Bill Burr, I don't know who it was. Might have just been online. Because they're talking about how in the Midwest, like we're very friendly and we'll help anyone get out of like, we'll stop.
Yeah.
To help like anybody. And someone said, actually, Boston's the same way.
They'll just insult you.
They'll just insult you. They're like, you stupid fucking dumbass. Your car got stuck in the ditch. What are you doing driving out in the fucking snow? You fucking idiot. Hang out. Go get my fucking... I'll get my shovel. Don't fucking move. I feel like I'd vibe in Boston.
Hell yeah. Honestly, I want to move to Boston, but Neve says it's too cold, so...
She's in Ohio.
Yeah, she doesn't want to move from cold to cold. If she's moving out of the cold, she wants
to
move
somewhere nice. She's like half Dutch.
Okay.
Isn't it cold, Holland?
I don't know.
It's up there. It's in her blood. It's in half her blood.
Okay. So.
It's like, Holly, I'm fine with the cold. And everyone's like, oh, you're not. Because I'll be cold, but I'm like, I don't complain about it. I'm like, oh, I'm suffering. I'm just like, fuck, it's cold. This sucks. I'm like, oh, God, I can't smoke. Is every job I worked at. Oh, I can't smoke outside. It's so cold. I'm like, it sucks, but. Like, look, I'm from Lakewood, and I'm Polish. My entire blood screams, it's okay if it snows. So this movie we saw.
So they start the bank heist. They're waving their guns and like, get the fuck off the ground. Get the fuck on
get
the
off
ground.
The fucking float, motherfucker.
And they take the manager over to the safe.
And we see how professional they are,
too. Yeah.
Because, like, the two people are dealing with the crowd. Another person's going, and they're, like, taking all the hard drives out of the computers. They're fucking, like, microwaving them. They're bleaching everything. Like, it does a really good job of showing in the beginning that, besides the planning scene, that these guys are, like, fucking professionals. Yes. At this. I know exactly what to do.
This is their second bank, and they've done 5 trucks before this. Yeah. Because the next truck is their 6th truck because he says, anyway, timing. So they bring the manager over to the safe and she's having a trouble because she's panicking.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've ever been a manager of a bank while it's being robbed. It feels pretty stressful.
Yeah. See, it's hard to keep those old hands steady because also... They won't let you smoke.
Exactly.
So you're nicotine withdrawal, and you know you smoke, you're in Boston. And yeah, and then it's something I really liked, where I didn't like. First of all, we see the man who's revealed to be Hawkeye, the famous Avenger.
Jeremy Renner, yeah.
Be like, I'll fucking kill you! And then Ben Affleck's like, yo, chill out, and does the very reasonable thing of like, hey, it's not your money. We're not here to kill you. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That's more crime.
It's true. Just like.
Just take a breath. You got this. You can do it.
Which is the correct way to go about that.
Yeah.
I don't know what Jeremy Renner's character's name is Jem.
Yeah.
I don't know what Jem thought was going to happen.
He's very aggressive when you have to realize that, like, it's like Ben Affleck, so it's all the thing. It's also, you see this a lot in like crime movies and shows, because it's true, is you don't want to make your crime more in case you get caught. Like in The Sopranos, the thing is like, why do you do that? Now you've made it interstate commerce. Like, you want to keep your crime at the level it's at, because if you do get caught, you don't want to go to more jail. Generally, is the plan. So you... If you have to, you'll shoot someone, I suppose. But you really don't want to do that. Also, probably because you're not like, I'm a murderer. You're like, I'm just trying to steal some money.
Yeah. So she opens the vault. They get the money and they fucking...
What else is she in?
I don't know off the top of my head, but...
I recognized her from something.
They take her with them as a hostage. And drop her off,
which like no one likes, because I think Jem does it.
Yes,
and everyone
after
else
he beats the fuck out of the other manager,
and everyone else is like, Why do you do that?
She's the one who triggered the silent alarm, right? Because she used her heel to press the back.
On, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And then they get the
Oh, and she
out.
Sees a neck tattoo.
Yes, she sees the Fighting Irish, yeah. The back neck tattoo.
Do you think you'd cover up before you did a bank robbery, though?
Right? Right? Anyway. Yeah. If you have any, not, if you have something that obvious, that's as professional as they are, that
it's an odd slip.
That is an incredibly odd slip. It's an act of hubris almost. That's like almost begging to get
Can't
caught.
Keep the Irish down, I guess.
Yeah.
No, that's what I fucking told my mom when she's like, why has it happened? Why is there so many bank robbers there? So, I mean, that's what happens when you put a bunch of Irish people together. So what do you mean? Like, they're a violent criminal lot. She's like, okay, man. Okay. You're just saying that to get me riled up. You don't believe that.
But what if... So, okay.
No, let's ask your question.
I don't even know what my question was.
So, presumably about me trying to convince my mom that I think the Irish are a criminal lot. I'm measuring their skulls with forceps.
I don't know what my question was. Anyway, they're at a bar celebrating. Blake Lively is Jeremy Renner's sister, and she and Ben Affleck used to hook up, still do, but they used to too. And we find out Ben Affleck used to be like an oxy cokehead and a hardcore alcoholic. He was a golden boy that like threw everything away because of drugs.
And she is still doing drugs.
Hardcore. And she has a daughter, Shine, who may or may not be Ben Affleck's. It's probably not Ben Affleck's. Doug is his character, right? Doug McRae, which is it's a name.
An Irish name.
It's such a name.
Is Ben Affleck Irish?
Well, he's from South Boston, so it wouldn't shock me.
He doesn't look like...
Well, okay. He's not from Boston. Everyone from Boston denies that he's from Boston, but he claims he's from Boston.
Yeah, and he really sticks out in this whole movie. Because everyone else looks like Irish criminals.
But the accent is like a semi-natural accent.
Yeah, no, it's
like,
good. Well, I mean, he was born in Berkeley, California.
But he moved to Boston when he was like 2. And they're at the bar celebrating.
What a fucking name.
What?
Benjamin Geza Affleck Bolt is his birth name.
Do you know he speaks Spanish fluently?
Yeah, wasn't he married to a Spanish woman?
But also acting, he did a lot of stuff in Mexico and like learned the language.
Yeah. He moved when he was 3. Yeah, there's nothing here saying is Irish, so I don't know.
Okay.
He's cool. I like Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but yeah. Blake Lively and what is Blake Lively? What is the sister's name?
I don't remember. She shows up like twice.
It's like Trisha or something.
Something like that.
They
say her name like 3 times in this movie.
Yeah. But Blake Lively and Ben Affleck leave to have sex in his apartment.
Like a not great sex scene. None of the sex scenes in this movie. Every time a sex scene came up, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah, that is not his strong suit directing, apparently.
It's not. I mean, to be fair, the greatest sex scene of all is in The Green Knight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're going to watch it, so I can't tell you it. I wanted you to experience
because we're doing it on the show. Yeah.
I wanted to bring your brother.
It's the second most splooge you've ever seen in a movie.
It's the second most splooge I've ever seen in a movie. It is still my top splooge producing scene. It goes on longer than it probably should for like a movie I watch in a movie theater. I remember I saw it in the preview. Us the people I'm with are like, wow, this is going on longer than I thought it would.
So
it's a weird scene.
So I don't remember exactly how, but Jeremy Renner gives the bank manager's license to Ben Affleck,
yeah.
And he stalks her. Apparently.
They also go to the florist.
Yes, the florist is like the gang leader. He's just the most Irish dude you ever did see.
Cutting roses and doing crime.
Yeah.
Is it? I guess legally it's stalking. It's not like emotionally stalking.
No, it's stalking. It's profiling.
They want to find out if she's gonna talk.
Yes, and he meets her.
When I think of a man stalking a woman, it's because
creepy sex creepy reasons.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah,
it's more like just intimidation. I think it'd be labeled under.
But I don't think. Yeah. I don't think he's trying to. I think in many ways he just doesn't want her to know that she's following her. Like, I don't think he's trying to intimidate her. I think he's like trying to get information.
Yeah, it's like they're like studying it. Because like when a mob person's like watching someone to see if they're a snitch, you don't say they're like stalking them. They're a stalker.
Sure.
They're doing recon.
Fair enough. He does recon. He meets her at the laundromat. They have like
a meet cute.
I was gonna say a little meet cute, but I needed a fucking new word for it. I need a new word. But
and that's a good one. I use it for a lot of things. Mostly things involving criminals. Really? Lately.
Yeah, they have a meet cute, and they start to blossom a friendship that turns into a relationship.
He immediately asks her out.
Yeah. I think the immediate asking out is he wants information. And then I think the moment, like when they're at the dinner, is when the guard falls. Yeah.
It's bad crime.
What?
I wouldn't do the exact same thing.
I'm
really throwing stones inside a glass house here, but I'm femme fatale chow.
So
I'm Purina's femme fatale chow, 100% twink. Put me in the bag, dude. So
does this movie follow the two men trend?
No, I'm not horrifically in love with her.
Okay.
Anyone? Yeah. No, it's a first. Woo! No, anyone who volunteers to help children, I cannot have feelings for.
Oh, that makes them more attractive. Are you kidding?
No. What if she wanted me to like, come with her to her work to help out children? Ugh.
That would be awesome.
Awful.
No, that'd be great. I would do that anyway.
Awful. Ideally, if she's like, want to go to the child center? I'm like, why? And she's like, I'm going to beat up some kids. I'd be like, hell yeah.
Why?
You have to come here because you're stuck in a systematic culture of poverty. Ha ha. Like, yeah, that'd be sick as hell.
What is it about children that you don't like?
I don't know. The thing is, also, as I think about it, I'm not sure I dislike a child as much as I dislike children.
You know that is bigotry, right?
I guess, but like if there's an individual, I'm not sure if it's bigotry, because if there's an individual child, right? Any individual child, I can probably not have a bad time and be okay with them being there. But as soon as it becomes like a gaggle of children, like if there's three kids, too many. One child, yeah, whatever. I'm indifferent towards one child. But when it officially becomes like a group of children, I don't like their presence anymore.
Replace the word children with any minority group.
They're not a minority group.
But they are they are like a protected class. Is
I don't think this is bigotry. I think you're letting
dislike of a group of people solely for being a part of that group.
No, you're not understanding. I'm not saying that I dislike them as a group of people. I dislike groups of them. It's like saying that like, oh, I'm okay if there's one dog, but if there's a bunch of dogs, I am not having a good time. You're gonna be like, oh, you're a bigot of dogs.
No, but that's not. That's,
I just think when you
they're people, they're tiny humans who don't know how to be people yet.
Yeah, and I think that when you have a group of people who don't know how to be people yet, they annoy the shit out of me, and I hate them. But when there's like one person who doesn't know how to be a person, whatever. You know, I think just when you get a bunch of them together, they just become insufferable. I don't want to be around them.
But see, not wanting to be around children is entirely different than I actively dislike groups of children.
I don't know. Because like if I see a group of children, I'm upset. I'm like, oh, God, look at all these fucking kids.
They didn't do anything.
Like sometimes when I'm driving through Arlington, I'll find like they'll be by the school and all the kids are all fucking walking around. I'm like, Jesus fucking
that's bigotry.
God, I hate get off the fucking road. Get off your fucking phones. God, fucking look at them all. But you know, if I see like one kid walking back from school, I'm like, whatever.
Oh my God. Okay.
You just can't understand because you want to be a dad. You so desperately want to be a dad, it blinds you to the reality that groups of children are, like, awful.
No, groups of children can be annoying in specific circumstances.
Like, ask anyone. If you go to a restaurant, would you rather have one child behind you or three children behind you? One child? You're a bigot. What are you saying? Like, groups of children are loud, and they're noisy, and they're dumb, and they're awful.
They don't know how to be people yet. They're trying to figure out how to be people.
And that's, I'm allowed to be annoyed by that. I don't have to show this divine grace of patience towards these little shits.
And you kind of do.
That's the parents' job.
No, as a society, everyone collectively needs to learn how to teach these people how to be people.
There is no situation which I have to be involved with a stranger's child for that child to grow up successfully.
Oh my God.
There's no situation. In fact, the parents are probably prefer that I, a stranger, stay away from their child.
Yes. That's not.
Parents don't hate. All these parent memes I see, I was just talking to Vic about this, where it's like, oh, weekends before being a parent, yay, happy. Weekends after being a parent, suffering, can't wait to get to Monday. Like, people hate being around kids. Even the parents who love their children are like, God, I can't wait till they're a bit more grown. It sucks that they're a child.
Absolutely.
No one likes being around kids.
No, first off, there are people who enjoy being around kids.
Freaks!
No. Our job as a society is to treat them with grace and patience.
Our job as a society is to make sure children have a good upbringing. I will agree with that. It is not my job as an individual.
If we as a collective have to do it, then we as individuals have to be a part of that collective.
If I am at Target and I am looking at magic cards or like small plastic dinosaurs, right? My two things I go to Target for.
Yes.
And I look over and there's a bunch of kids being fucking annoying. What am I supposed to do there? What is my responsibility to those children at that moment?
It vaguely make sure they're safe. But that's not
okay. Well,
that's not really what I'm saying. If those group of children come up to you and start asking you questions,
I'll answer their questions
with grace and patience.
Increasingly little patience, but I'll answer their questions.
But, okay.
I'll be really fucking annoyed. Counterpoint though, if one child came up to me and asked me a question, I'd probably be very patient with them. It's a quantity thing.
I disagree with your thesis. I understand it. I disagree with your thesis.
It's factually sound.
No, I think we as a society, as a collective, need to treat these children like they're people and with grace and patience as you would treat any other person.
Harrison, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here.
Because they are people.
This is how I also think about a lot of people. It's not like I'm a gracious, patient, kind person to adults.
You know what? Fair. As long
I think you're acting like I'm like, oh, Matthew's such a nice guy and so kind and patient with adults, but as soon as he sees a child, he becomes a monster. My grandfather pissed in the corner of his room, put paper towels on it, and said, oh God, I wish there's some way I could fix this. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know how to stop this. And my mom was like, I just feel bad for him. And I told her that, well, there is an answer. They tell you in Death of a Salesman.
Jesus Christ.
I don't have a lot of patience for anyone.
Okay. You know what?
Like, if anyone even slightly annoys me, I'm like, I hate this person and I don't want to deal with them anymore. I am not a patient man.
You know what? At least you're consistent.
I'm consistent. When I was in the theater and this guy who was not a child, he was an older man, kept going coughing during the show, I was like, holy fuck, I want to beat the shit. She got me sick. That's why I was sick. It has to be. I never leave the house much to public events. And none of the people I hang out with were sick. I'm like, I fucking hate this guy. I want to beat the fucking shit out of him. I hope someone kicks him in the fucking parking lot. And then there's the big dramatic scene and some woman's like weeping in like a really weepy way. I'm like, fucking hell, shut up.
They were moved by coughing. I understand the weeping at the play.
I was moved too, but it was like such a. It's like how an actor would weep, and the director would say that's bad.
Okay.
It was bad.
Okay.
And it was annoying me, and I was like, shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry that someone else's emotional response made you upset.
Yeah, thanks. It's a lot of my day to day. A lot of my day to day is being annoyed at people's perfectly normal emotional responses to things. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Stop being fucking sad. Oh my God. Oh, that upset you? Fucking hell, shut up.
So I think the best way to go about this movie now, because we're 50 minutes in, and I don't want a 4-hour recording. So I think the best part...
Look, I'll hit the plot really quick. Real quick, because you'll go into
And then we can detail. Go into different scenes, and yeah, then we'll go on our favorite scenes. Detail. Go for it.
Fucking, so they're doing this crime. He wants to get out. He's still dating her. I was suspenseful because I'm like, oh, Jem's going to find out they're dating and it's going to be a big thing. But really, he just calls him a fucking idiot, which he is being in the situation. And he's like, I didn't tell anyone else. So he's actually pretty cool about it. And then there's a lot of conflict between him and Jem about leaving. And then she finds out he's the bank robber, and there's a lot of conflict there. And John Hamm's going around being kind of a dick, but also right. All this, they do like their big last crime at Fenway. Fucking everyone but him dies. He's watching her. She's like, she's telling him to come over, and he's looking through her window in an adjacent building, seeing there's cops there. He's like, all right, I'll come over. And then she does the little code phrase about her dead brother, and then, but like in a positive way, and he smiles because, oh, she does love him. And then he's like, okay, I'll be right over. And then he never shows up. John Hamm's like, fuck you. You know, we're federal, right? Leaves, and he goes down to Florida, and he left her a bunch of money, which they used to make an ice rink. The end.
That is the gist of it. Yes,
that is the plot of the movie. That's the Wikipedia summary of this movie. Also, he kills the florist.
Yeah, I was like, there's also the florist in the thing with the dad.
Yeah, the florist is like, I made your mother of. I was gonna do an Irish accent, and that was not gonna be a good time for anyone. But he was like, I made your fucking mother a fucking druggy whore because your dad said no to me. Fuck you.
Yeah, and then he thought his mom left and the mom killed herself.
Actually, yeah, she killed herself because of drugs.
Yeah, and the dad's in jail. And that's how he met, but Jem's family essentially took him in when the dad went to jail. Yeah. So they are like brothers, but...
It's also the plot of CW's Flash.
Hell yeah.
That's why it's weird. It's a weird thing they do. We really need to like just have like a once a month podcast where we cut out all these bits and we just release a bunch of just random thoughts on film and television. But because in that one, Barry Allen's dad goes to jail because they say he killed his mom when really it was Reverse Flash. But so he goes and lives with the West family, with Iris West, who becomes his love interest. And like, they weren't step siblings. Because he was never adopted and there wasn't marriage involved. But in every other situation, they were step siblings.
Sure.
I'm not saying this. I'm saying this is just weird for like a television network to do. I think it's perfectly fine to fuck your step sibling.
You have gone on this tirade before. I don't remember if you've been on mic going on this tirade.
I'll go on it. I don't think it's morally wrong. I'm not sure I would do it. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm indifferent either way. But people act like it's this big taboo. It's not incest. Incest is a problem because, sometimes it's pedophilia or there's a big weird age difference, so it's kind of groomy. But assuming it's on the same age thing, usually it's a problem because inbreeding gives you like Habsburg jaw. It's bad for the fucking species. All right. Truly, if you remove that, I don't see the problem with incest on like a moral level.
I'm not saying
it's morally like upstanding.
Sure.
I'm not saying it's a virtue. I'm just saying it's not a sin.
Sure. Like, how old were the kids? when they originally became a family, because I do think that matters. I think if you're both like
9 or 10
and you that's that weird breaking point. But I feel like if you were like 2 and you were literally raised as siblings, that's fucking weird.
I'll even go and say it's weird. I'm not saying it's not weird, but like example, I'll even go as far to say is if you had 2 sisters, biological sisters, and they were lesbian with each other, what is the moral crime here? Push aside the icky weirdness that we have as a society have. What sin are they committing? What wrong actions happening there? They're not doing anything wrong besides it's really weird and makes us uncomfortable. They're not like, I'm going to make a fucked up child. What's wrong with it?
So you think biological sisters should be allowed?
I'm not saying they even should be allowed. I just don't see why people are like, that's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying I don't think it's bad. I don't see where the moral failing is here. Or where I don't see why it's a crime. Then again, I don't understand lingerie, so I don't know.
I don't understand lingerie.
Thank you. People look at me like I'm fucking weird. I'm like,
No.
This is expensive underwear.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, correct.
And honestly, sometimes I think it's kind of unsexy. It's too much.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, once you get past, like, a nice bra set or whatever, or tight jock strap, and you get, like, the really fancy shit, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you putting on more clothes to be sexy?
Psychologically speaking, there is this thing with men that, like, the layer right before nakedness is actually, like, for some people, sexier than nakedness itself.
Okay, put on, like,
because there is, like, the like, your brain imagining.
Just wear your underoos and put on, like, a tank top. There you go. We already invented the hottest piece of clothing for a woman. It's called the tank top. It shows the neck bones, the collar bones, the shoulders and the arms. What more do you need?
Sure.
You don't need to fucking dress up in a fancy baby doll dress for your sister before you go lesbian on her. Just put on a tank top.
Okay. Okay. So, anyway.
Like with fucking Noah. There's definitely some incest after Noah, right?
Sure. In theory, sure.
And it definitely comes with like a Christian idea of like Puritanness or whatever. Like that whole, a lot of the Abrahamic religions are kind of prudish. So I think it comes from that. But do you know that when Europe like became aware of China, it really fucked up Christians for a bit? Because they had like their whole like, this is the timeline of the world. This is the history of the world. Like 2,000 years ago, the Great Flood happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they find China, which is much older than 2,000 years, and they're both doing fine and don't remember a great flood. And they're like, oh God, what does this mean? Is the Bible not real? And it like fucked up like a bunch of people. No fun fact for all you out there.
Nice. I love that he was well aware that they were taking pictures at the barbecue.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. I love that he just didn't care. He even said, I could have given you a better picture. You didn't need to fucking, like, sneak around our barbecue. You thought you were being slick.
Yeah, but everyone knows what a fucking Fed car looks like.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Like, it's kind of true to life, too. A lot of law enforcement people are really bad at appearing not to be law enforcement people.
Yes.
Like a good majority of people, you're like, that's a cop.
Yep. 1,000%.
And sometimes it's meant to be that. Well, actually, I think I also read that that's actually there to distract you from the actual cops. Like, I'm not sure about stakeouts, but like at like public events, I think I read somewhere that like they'll have some people who are clearly cops in disguise. So you're drawn to them as like, oh, that's a cop. And you don't notice the other cops actually like recording you who are actually doing a good job.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Really lends credence to the fact that like pigs are one of the smartest animals out there.
Yeah, man. The interrogations, I love the interrogation scene so much, if for no other reason than it's the most overwritten scene in the entire
movie. It really is.
Where
it's dense compared to everything else. It's like a cancerous tumor.
It's the moment where I feel like Ben Affleck wasn't the only writer of this. There were like three others. But it's one of those where you remember that he has an Oscar for writing.
Yeah.
And then this one scene happens and it feels out of place.
Of a different movie.
Yes,
it does. I think it wouldn't feel so out of place if it weren't for the slow love story that is a lot of the plot.
Or if Jon Hamm just spoke like that.
Like the actor?
No, the character. Like, okay. If the character just spoke in weird Shakespearean tongue, that either it was a thing that he's trying to sound smarter than he is because he is FBI and he's like trying.
Yeah, I think he's putting on a little show.
Then. Yeah, it's that. Or,
you see, he's good at that. Like, he does the whole thing with the sister. But where he says, can you tell how big this dollar bill is? Over under 6 inches. And she goes, under. He's like, actually, it's a bit over. Just like my cock. Yeah. He doesn't say that, but that's implied.
See, but that's like a he talks human in every other scene. I wish he would have done the weird Shakespearean epic monologue.
Jon Hamm needs to cook. You are right. Hamm needs... I love Jon Hamm. He's Adventure Brothers.
Oh, nice.
He's Orpheus's master.
Oh, fuck
the,
yeah.
The demon guy. And I always think, I was watching it, and his master transforms into Orpheus's ex-wife. And he's like, holy crap, how is she 50? Look at this, the tits of a teenager. And look at this ass, you can bounce a dime off it. And the whole time I'm just thinking, that's Jon Hamm saying that.
But the later when he's like talking to Blake Lively because she's drunk and on oxy.
That might not be Jon Hamm. That might be the guy who does Archer. I just realized I mix those two people up a lot.
That's fair. But like in that scene, he's talking to her like a human would talk. Like,
well, yeah, because he's like not trying to intimidate her at that point. He's trying to appear non-threatening so he can learn to assault. A false sense of confidence.
So he just wants to impress Ben Affleck?
I think he's trying to impose on him a gravity of the situation. He's trying to make it... Because like they don't have anything on them at that point. They've already said that. So I think he's trying to put on a show to make it seem like Ben Affleck's in a lot more trouble and they're in a stronger position of power over him than he actually is.
Sure.
Because he can just leave. Also, side note... I didn't know, I guess on some level I knew, I never thought about it that there's like businesses of people who make gravel.
Yeah. You never thought about that?
I guess I never knew where it came from. Maybe like I just thought it was like a side product or something.
Oh, it was.
It's one of those things where like you do, there's a lot of jobs people have and you just never think of those being jobs, but they have to be. Like someone has to make gravel. That's like their job. See, I make gravel, and you never think. It's like when I drive around, I see all these businesses, and there's so many businesses, and I'm like, who's going to all these businesses? There's a lot of businesses here, and these have like enough people are going to all these like some of them kind of like niche businesses to keep them open. I guess you just kind of forget like how many people there are.
Yeah,
you just kind of like, oh, there's only so many people, and then you're like, actually, there's like a lot of people, and so like a good number of those people can like. Make gravel as a job.
Yeah. Well, it is a necessary thing that needs to exist for our society to function.
I personally don't know anyone that makes gravel.
That's fair.
Like I know people in construction and stuff, but I don't know someone who's like, I make gravel. It's never something you hear like people are talking about where it's like, I go make, I can't wait to make gravel when I'm older.
That's fair.
I think about that a lot, like all the weird little tiny jobs that are necessary for society to function. Like in like my job, I interact with some people in the county who like work on like traffic permits, and I'm like, how do you get into that job?
But like the writing of traffic permits?
Yeah, like how do you, is that something that like you're like, I want to go work in permits, or is it like I want to go work in government, or do you have to come from like a part, like a neighborhood or like a family or like a connection kind of thing where you know people in government? I went to film school. I don't know how people get jobs.
Dude, I don't know. I also went to film school and I work in a kitchen.
Two men and a movie. Is it Two Men Movie Podcast Gmail or
Two men and a movie?
I got to fix the one that isn't because it fucks me up all the time. Two men and a movie at gmail.com. How do you get a job? Like, how do you get jobs like jobs like that?
See, I don't.
Because I just did food service, which is really easy to get into because you need a job. So you look for jobs.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of stumbled my way into having like a real job, which is like a job. You'd be like, well, I guess people do that. I guess someone does have to like figure out how to put like communication lines up on telephone poles. I am the gravel person.
Yeah, dude. See.
But everyone can't be stumbling into this, right? Surely.
I think specifically with the gravel thing, one of two things. Either it's a subcontractor through the construction company, or it's in the construction company and it's a job within the company.
I could see that, yeah. Like, you're like, I want to do construction, and then you get assigned to gravel making.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, like...
to be fair, like, most of my coworkers are just kind of people who ended up here. Like, one of the team leads was, like, a teacher.
Hell yeah.
My boss has a degree in, like, geography. Like, it is just a bunch of people that, like, just kind of ended up here. I don't think anyone there is like, I want to be an engineer of some kind.
Okay.
Cameron works there and he's a history degree, and that's because I told him he could come work and get more money.
Hell yeah.
Maybe those people that wrote traffic permits were just did what I did and worked at a restaurant, and someone left and said, hey, I'm working at this place now. Do you want me to put in a reference for you?
Truly, I feel like a lot of that kind of thing.
That is how I got because I applied to Myers when I worked there. I actually applied there because I needed a job. And when I got fed up with that, I looked for a job, and that's how I worked at the screen printing place. And then Cameron got me in its sheets.
Nice.
And then you suggested Kent Food Service to me.
Yes.
Maybe jobs just is... But who started it? Where did it start?
I started at Sheets because I needed a job, and I was going to be there anyway, and I lived a block away. I worked the overnight shift because I wanted to do stand-up. Then I fell in love with my manager. She
home wrecked, which I approve.
She left. I followed her.
How'd she go to?
She knew the old, like the old manager of the DI.
All these government jobs, all these like behind the scenes jobs are all connections. Who was the first person who was like, I'm going to apply to a government job? Cause he's like, he's the Adam here. He's the first one. And then he just told all his friends, and that's how government started.
Yeah, because she used to work at Quaker Steak, and then her manager there was like the manager of the DI. Honestly,
probably in the country that if you go back, it was just a bunch of guys being like, we need to form a government now. Hey, Joe, you want to come be this guy? We need someone to do this.
I want to know who got him. How far back does this web weave?
God, I mean, I think we could at least start the American Revolution as a sanity point of, fuck, we got to make a government now. So they just started, it was just a bunch of dudes who were in the same room. Like, I guess we're doing this. We need to talk to our friends to get them in.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of drunk 20-somethings who, like...
God, they were so young.
Yeah, dude.
Except Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
He was old.
They were, like, our age or younger.
That's so messed up.
Maybe...
It's like working in retail.
Maybe early 30s.
Benjamin Franklin was just a millennial working in retail. Wait, I was talking to my hairdresser today, and she was talking about how her husband has over his friends and stuff, all his nerdy friends do nerdy stuff, and she can't, they're all fucking kids. I'm like, whoa, why? What do you mean they're kids? And she's like, they're 21. I'm like, whoa, why are you hanging out with 21-year-old? He's like, well, because they're all his friends' friends, and he met his friends when he worked at Giant Eagle. I'm like, oh, retail, say no more, fam. I get it. Yeah, no, you, I have some friends who are probably weirdly young to have, but it's because I worked in food service.
See, mine isn't from food service. Mine is from comedy.
Yeah.
Like, my old roommate is 20-ish years older than me. And it was completely normal for me to be living with him. And, like, for me to be as good of a friend of his as we are. Like, as good of friends as we are. I mean,
we're friends with who's an actual child.
That's fair. This, to me, is my version of, like, if it's on TV, that's what I'm watching.
See, I'm not even sure it's that for me.
That is for me. This is my TV. I've seen this movie on TV half a dozen times.
Like, I wouldn't be upset if it was on TV. That's how I feel about the movie. It's a movie.
Okay.
I think it's well made. Like, this isn't talking about the quality of the movie, just my opinion on it. It's a movie.
Sure.
I can see how people would really enjoy it. It's a well-made movie. Everyone acts very well. I mean, it was certainly tense in the beginning for me. I felt tension. The plot works. Everything works. I just have no strong opinion on it besides it's a well-made movie that works.
Interesting. I wanted to bring this movie to the podcast because this was actually one of the movies I had in mind originally, like, for the premise. Because, one, I think you and I have actually had the conversation where I was like, you haven't seen The Town. But also, it's one of those movies that randomly in my life, like, in my movie vernacular, will come up a lot. I think just because it's so, I don't know why.
That's wild. I don't think I could ever match a situation where like The Town, like the Ben Affleck movie, The Town.
It comes up a few times a year. It's not like in every film conversation.
But like every time you see a Boston person, oh, it's just like Ben Affleck's The Town.
No, but like, we'll be talking
Can you give me like an example?
Not off the
top truly
of my
need
head.
An example here.
Not off the top of my head.
Because again, this movie, it isn't outstanding in any way, but it isn't bad.
Okay, yeah.
Like, there's nothing that, like, really stands out to me about it.
See, to me, this is like an 8 out of 10. Like, it I love it.
I wouldn't rate this movie. I would say this is a movie.
Sure.
It's well made. I have no rating for it.
That's fair.
Because I don't want to give it, like, an 8, because I don't think it's, like, amazing. But to give it anything lower makes people think it's a bad movie. And it's not a bad movie. I'm just really indifferent on it.
I will say this watch through was the first time where the cracks really shone, because I think it's also the first time in a few years I've seen this movie.
It's a bit long. That's my only complaint about it.
It's a little bit long. Is this the first movie we've had that cracks 2 hours?
It might be. Yeah, no, like halfway through, I'm like, I feel like we should be 2/3 of the way through.
Yes.
It doesn't drag at any point.
No. I understand why. Like, I understand.
Is there a point where I'm like, oh, God, this is dragging? There's just points where I'm like, we're not near the end?
Yes. And the fact that the Fenway Park scene happens and we still have like 20 more minutes.
Yeah,
movie.
I checked it. It's like, holy fuck. And like, it never drags after
that. No, it's not bad.
Oh, God, it's taking forever. I'm just like, how the fuck do we still have 20 minutes left over?
I feel like you could wrap
cut out a lot of the date scenes. Oh, God.
I'm getting water.
Oh, he's dying. Be sure to use the one from the pitcher.
I'm so sorry.
That was intense.
Dude, I'm getting over. I'm not sick, but yeah. I'm like getting over being sick. And I fucking like swallowed my spit and it ran down the wrong pipe and I fucking like was choking. I'm so sorry. I'm gonna try and cut around that you don't end up hearing that, but that's probably impossible.
It was a lot.
Oh my God. And it started and it was, I thought for a second I could be like, it's gonna be a quick cough, I can cut it out. And then it was nope.
Yeah, you were like, you stood up, you're hunched over.
Time out, baby. I'm so all.
He's like watching your grandfather cough.
Oh my God. Where were we?
I think we're talking about how I wasn't into this woman because of her weak eyebrows. We weren't, but that's just what I realized. She's weak eyebrows.
Rachel Hall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Weak.
That's okay.
I need my women to have good eyebrows. It's important for me.
You really do talk about women like resources.
Yeah, it's strange the things I'm into.
Nah, it's fine.
But it's also strange.
I don't even think it's straight. If eyebrows are your thing, eyebrows are your thing. But you like spoke about it as if they were like an attribute that like
I think they're like a square. They are. They're like a squaring. I think it's because a strong eyebrow adds like a squareness. And I like my women to be kind of square in some fashion.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
I like a sturdy woman.
I don't know what to do with that. I can't help you with that. I'm not trying to introduce you to people and you refuse.
Sometimes they'll show me like bodybuilders and I'm like, I'm not into this one. They're like, why? They're muscular. I'm like, nah, doesn't look sturdy. Weak shoulders.
Okay.
I like a strong level pair of shoulders.
But yeah, this movie is a little long. Yeah.
And then it just kind of ends.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm in Florida. Maybe I'll see you someday. And
this life or the next. Yeah.
And
it very much.
It's the same ending as like.
It's Good Will Hunting.
I was going to say it's the same ending as Shawshank Redemption. But if they cut it down to a tenth of the size for some reason.
It's the Good Will Hunting of I Gotta Go See About a Girl.
I've never seen Good Will Hunting.
Also written by Ben Affleck.
Oh.
Or co-written by Ben Affleck.
Okay.
And Matt Damon.
Makes sense. Yeah, him and Matt Damon.
And he plays a construction worker in Good Will Hunting. So I truly think on some
look
level.
Look at him. He's a big guy.
He was just like, what is a job that I kind of know the lingo for?
He looks like he's the only guy that played Batman. Mm. That looks like he's Batman.
Yes.
He's a big man.
Yeah. You've obviously seen his back tattoo.
Yeah.
I like it. I think I love ugly tattoos, but like, it's such a statement piece. I like it a lot.
I don't know. I feel like if you're doing a back tattoo, it's got to be good.
I think the fact
you
that
put shitty tattoos on your arms, you can have a shitty tattoo on your arm, whatever, nobody cares. But if you're like, it's a back tattoo. It's like you know, you could have like a put up like a shitty billboard in Idaho, no one cares. But if you put up like a shitty billboard in like Times Square, like that's prime body real estate. That's your back. Anyone who's doing back shots is gonna see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big part of the person's body, the back. You gotta like it's gotta be art. It's my take on back tattoos. It's like if you're gonna do a back tattoo, it's like a face tattoo. If you're gonna have a face tattoo, it better be good.
Sure. You know what? Yes, face tattoos I completely agree with.
Like a right there, like a collarbone neck tattoo. Like, it better be a good tattoo.
It better be like a good artist. You paid some money for that shit.
Yeah, because if it's bad, I'm going to think less of you.
I don't know if I think less of you, but like.
When I see someone with like a real shitty like neck tattoo, it's like I think less of them as like a person, like you're lesser, but I have serious reservations about your judgment abilities. If you're like, that's what you got put on your neck? Okay.
We're just jumping all around this movie at this point. One of my favorite mini moments is after she finds out he is a cop and she starts to question essentially everything about their relationship.
If he's a criminal.
Yes. And
not a cop.
Okay. Yeah, yes, you're right. You
did
right.
This last time too.
God damn it. But
he's always the opposite, like his counterpart too. You're like, oh, it's I'm gonna keep calling this one actor. His literal counterpart. Oh, I'm gonna call this criminal a cop.
I think, yeah. Well, I think because right now we don't have the safety friends. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
but when
like masterfully, I cleared my like a throat there without choking to death.
Good for you. He like is trying to win her back, and is just like, let me explain. They're in the garden, and he's just like, let me explain. And she's like, how do I know you're not going to lie to me? And it's so honest. He's like, because you're going to fucking hate the answers.
Yeah,
just like that's such. It's not a small moment, but like it's one of those where it's like
it's good writing.
It's a human moment.
Yeah.
It's like, how do I get this person to trust me? Well, I'm gonna be 100% honest.
And he goes, yep, nope, yep.
Yep. He's like, yes, I knew who you were. Yes, I was following you. No, I didn't need for this to happen.
Like, also the idea that's part of the crime was maybe this is some part of the crime, like he's going to rob your bank again? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I understand being upset, but the moment where she's like, oh, is this part of it? Probably not. He's a bank robber.
And when Jem finds out, like at the and he covers his, his neck when they're at the table and it's this like the interrogation and Ben Affleck is freaking the fuck out. Is like, is she gonna figure it out? And he goes to say goodbye and he quickly covers the Fighting Irish neck tattoo.
Like Jem had a much more reasonable reaction to being like, "You're doing what? You're who? Who's the girl?"
Yeah, he's truly is just like, you're gonna get us killed. Yeah. Like, not like very factual, which is for the character incredibly rational.
Yeah, very rational moment. Also, I'm gonna go on record, I think she's kind of dumb.
The Rachel Hall.
Yeah.
Okay. What makes you say that?
She sat at a dinner table with two people who were shouting at her while robbing a bank. And she didn't recognize them at all.
See, yes, but they even say that where she's like, I think if I heard their voice, I would recognize. And then Ben Affleck says, you'd be surprised. Like your brain, like,
yeah, I can like one, I was willing to be like, okay, it's a Brit. But when there's like two of them,
especially when they're back and forthing. Yeah. Yes. I truly think it's because Jeremy Renner's not yelling. I think she doesn't, she like,
this man's far too calm.
No, but it's not he's far too calm. It's I know this guy's angry voice. I don't know this guy's rational voice. Mm. And yes, they're the same voice, like they're the same octave and they're but they're two different intensities. And
if that's the case, then like she should be able to connect Ben Affleck's like, hey, you got this, you're doing good, to the way he talks to her when he's dick deep in her. That's the same voice, guaranteed.
But yes, that's what he says when he's like, you'd be surprised. Like, your brain, her brain is like,
maybe I'm just built different. I would notice.
You would know immediately?
If a woman had held me up and made me rob a bank and later I went on a date with her, I'd be aware of this fact and I would be only the more aroused for it.
You should talk to your therapist about that, buddy.
I mean, she's already struggling with the simple stuff. I don't want to put too much on her. Okay. I'm already a therapeutic challenge.
But yeah, you're simple.
And now I'm going to pile on like, yeah, if someone like robbed me and then went on a date with me, I think that's hot. Like we just can't even fucking figure out how to make me feel better about the election.
Yeah, okay. I am a joy of is an active resistance mindset right now. Is
like,
how?
You should feel hope. And then like, I don't know. We haven't gotten that deep into my shit yet.
Okay.
If I'm already a therapeutic challenge, I don't think being like, yeah, like I would totally be down to fuck someone who like forced me to open up a bank I worked at while they robbed it. I think that's super hot.
Okay.
Like, what's she gonna do? I'm already a fucking challenge, and we're on basic therapy shit.
Well, you've had what, like two sessions, three,
like four?
Okay, a handful. Okay, I apologize. I didn't mean to minimize when I was like two sessions. It was more like you're still really early into this, but
she says I'm stubborn.
Yes, she's correct.
I don't think that's true. I think I'm pretty malleable.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You and I had such an intense argument to fucking put the guest episode in guest over.
Pretty malleable. Vic says I tend to view myself as unmalleable and static, and I violently resist any attempts to do that. And I was like, I don't know. I'm like water, dude. I flow. If someone offers a point, I usually go along with it. I'm like, you know what? That's a valid point. I agree.
Okay.
So especially artistically. Like, artistically?
Yeah.
If
someone has a slightly different idea than you...
People
you...
always say he will always accept our ideas, and he's very open to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what they say.
He never once has he been like, no... That's dumb.
He doesn't take offense when you ask him simple questions to clarify. Like, hey, this looks like a cat food commercial. Is this what you're going for? Not even like, not even questioning, like, for it looked great, but it was one of those, this looks like a cat food commercial. And he's so offended. Just like,
because it was the right decision. And I want you to know that.
How dare you question me? And I'm like, I wasn't questioning you. I was asking you a question.
I forget who was talking about. Someone was saying that, like, if you try to, I think it was Tom Hanks, but he was saying that if you tried to, like, hey, I was thinking for this scene, Steven Spielberg. We say it like this, and Steven Spielberg's like, well, shut up. I'm not listening to you. I got it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Sure. In theory, I understand. I think on some level, I try to hire professionals who are semi-experts in their own specific fields, and I will take their expert opinion into consideration.
See, I only do that for like technical stuff. That's mostly to do it because I have no interest in doing it.
Fair enough. You just tell people to frame between your legs and then walk out of the fucking frame.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking that. Look, if someone wants their opinion to be considered, maybe they should be a beautiful woman I'm deeply in love with. Because I think that's truly the only person I'm willing to be like, you know what? Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I think love is the only emotion that can inspire me, like, actually considering someone's opinion. On like a deep, on a deep malleable level.
But you're not stubborn?
No.
Okay.
I'm like silly putty.
Okay. So genuine, are we just abandoning the movie at this point and just like talking?
We hit all the good points of it, really. If you want to talk more about the movie, you have to bring it up because truly it's a good movie. That's my final take. It's a good movie. I have nothing to say about it.
Okay.
It's not even white bread, because I can get kind of excited about a good white bread and PB&J sandwich. Like, sure. I have opinions about white bread. I do not have many opinions about this movie.
That's fair.
But if you're trying to make like a PB&J without white bread, you're fucking wrong and dumb and stupid.
Only white bread on a PB&J?
I truly think that the best PB&J is a fucking like Wonder Bread PB&J. Like, that's peak PB&J.
Okay. So do you have a favorite moment in this movie? And then we can get on to final thoughts, or we can just fucking fuck around.
It's probably the little scene in the beginning when he's like, take a breath.
Sure. I didn't realize until this watch through just how much like Good Will Hunting this movie is. Just like,
I'll never know.
Well, I'm going to bring it to the podcast eventually. No! Now that I know you haven't seen it.
No, then I'll know.
Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything else in this movie. I truly have no opinion on this movie. Everything's done well. Everyone does a great job. I have no opinions on it outside of, like, this was well done.
Okay.
Girl's kind of dumb. Why they make the Fed seem so bad? We've hit all my points.
All right. So this is just going to be another short episode. A short episode where we don't really talk about the movie a whole lot.
It's a decent-sized episode. We're just not talking about the movie.
That's fair. No, it's fun. I like this movie a lot.
We talk about the vibes of it. We got it.
Yeah. I like this movie a lot.
You don't always got to do nerd shit. No. Sometimes we can just talk about vibes and fucking.
Have you seen any other Ben Affleck movie? Like, he has directed? Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah.
Now You've Seen the Town. Argo.
No.
Live by Night.
No.
Air.
No.
Cool. I've not seen Air. I've seen the other four. They're pretty good. Argo won Best Picture. So, and it's a movie that I constantly forget won Best Picture.
I know it won Best Picture. That's the one thing I know about Argo.
No, it's a good movie. Yeah. Argo's I like The Town more. I'm also probably wrong.
I can't wait to watch Argo and be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I like The Town more. But having not seen Argo in a decade at this point, I've seen The Town more. I like The Town more. The Town is just such it's a time waster movie. It's like I said earlier,
it is the movie equivalent of lo-fi ambient beats.
A little bit. Again, it is like the movie's on TV. Fucking, that's what I'm watching on TV, and I'm gonna have a good time.
It's movie you could fuck someone to and not feel like you're missing anything. It is the peak Netflix and chill.
Yes.
Cinema.
Yes. Yes. It's dumb. It's really well made.
It goes on a bit too long.
It goes on a little bit too long.
There's not too much to follow. You can look away for a bit and look back and not have really missed much.
You can step out for 40 minutes and then come back and it's like, you know where you're at. You can guess. Yeah, other than the truck stealing scene, which isn't essential, but like, I'm happy it exists. See, that's a thing too. I feel like the truck stealing scene doesn't need to be there.
No. He could have gone right to Fenway. There's no reason for him to be there.
It's the bank. He falls in love Fenway.
Yeah.
Or it's the bank. He falls in love. He wants out Fenway.
Excuse me. That's your traditional
story arc. Hour 40 movie.
That's your story. That's a traditional story arc.
But then you just have like 20 minutes to a half hour of character stuff. Like good character stuff. Like,
and then a weird... And then they like... Then they rob another...
Yeah, like him and Jem talking when he's talking to Jem about wanting out, and those little moments where he's like, oh, "Do you really think Shine's mine? Did your sister tell you Shine's mine? Shine's not mine. Also, we're not gonna be this happy fucking family. Like, I'm so sorry that whatever fairy tale you have in your head is about to be shattered. But those moments make the movie. I love them, but they don't necessarily need to be.
And
there.
The truck thing added nothing really.
But no, the truck thing added nothing other than it was a cool action sequence and it provided
what gave the movie poster.
Yeah, because they don't really do any. The first mask isn't cool, and the second one they're just dressed as cops. Who's their research team? Like when they were at Fenway and they were talking to the secure people, he like named them, named their wives, named their address. Who runs their research team?
The inside guy with the horse. They probably got it out of him.
Oh, sure. Well, sure. Maybe.
He gave them the names and then they just had some crime guy look them up.
Okay, that I can agree with. I was like, I don't know my coworkers' addresses. I maybe know
their... Yeah, you're not trying to fucking threaten them. If you're trying to hold them all accountable so they do whatever you want or you'd kill their family, you would know their address.
Yeah. Is there anything else we should mention for...
Oh, I've been running on fumes for half this episode. Okay. I don't have that many opinions on this movie. I'm not going to tell you that you should watch it, but if you have anything else to watch, you know, you can watch it, see if you like it.
I'm going to tell you to watch it. I'm not going to say add it to your list immediately, but if it's already on your list or you're looking for something, if you're scrolling through Netflix and you come across
the town. Yeah, if you need something to chill on, like, you know, that's not a bad choice. You could do worse.
Yeah. I love this movie like a decent amount. It works for me in a way that it doesn't seem to work for Matthew, and that's fine.
And it's not even not working. It's not like it's fucking...
No, it's just... It works for me in a way that you're neutral about. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's this like hidden masterpiece, but I am going to say it is completely worth a watch. All right. Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I'll do socials. All right. If you want to follow us on Instagram, which will eventually have more content, but it's a good way to keep track of episodes. And also, like, you can set alerts like, oh, it comes out the same time as the episode. I do fun little shitty Photoshops. I really don't. I just post a picture. You can share it at your friends so they'll go watch our podcast. Two Men and a Movie Podcast on Instagram. I used to have these down. I'm losing it.
Yes, you did. You were a goddamn...
It's just YouTube. That's Two Men Movie Podcast.
Two Men and a Movie Podcast.
Is the YouTube?
Yes. Look up Two Men and a Movie Podcast.
Which one doesn't have the fucking A?
It's either X or Instagram. We only have like three.
Two Men Movie Podcast at Instagram. Okay. When we get bigger, there'll be more stuff there. Follow us anywhere. Share it to your friends. You know, and then be like, oh, fun podcast. Okay. Ooh, sometimes I try to choose the blandest picture, or like not even the blandest, just the one that says the least about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little game I like to play. So, you know, come play it with me. You can follow us on YouTube at Two Men and a Movie Podcast. That's where we have audio episodes. We want to do visual stuff eventually. Probably a better way if you don't like have Spotify and you want to listen to it on your computer while you're doing something. YouTube's a good choice. And again, even if you just listen to Spotify, go to all these, just give us likes, give us that sweet interaction. Joe Biden said his last act was presidency. If we don't have a high interaction, he will kill my mother. So don't let that happen.
Okay.
You can email us, at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. This won't stop Joe Biden from killing my mother, but this is a good way if you just want to reach out. Like, I don't know, movie recommendations, fan art. If you want to draw us, you don't know. I guess you know what I look like. We have our Instagrams, but I've been thinking of us as like Fozzie Bear and Kermit the Frog. If you want to draw us like that? I think that'd be fun. You can find me at Midwest underscore magician on Instagram, where you can see all the thrilling adventures of a man rapidly about to be 30 in like 2 months. Exciting life I live. Thrilling.
All right.
Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at harrisonpoole.com. PooleDotCom. harrisonpoole.com. I feel like Harrison, you can spell out, but in case, since we're fucking
Poole
doing...
throws you off.
Yeah, H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N.
Because he's silent.
Yeah. So. Harrison, like the name Harrison, Poole, P-O-O-L-E.
Tell your friends, tell your family, spread the word. Tell them, I listen to two men, and I love it. And you should too. Go, next time you're at a bank, and you're like robbing someone, and you've convinced the bank manager, who I guess you think is hot... to unlock the bank for you, say also if you could do me a favor, follow these two men. Where I'm not related or affiliated with them. They're not associates to this crime. I just think you should give them a listen.
All right. Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm ending the recording now.
I love you guys. Kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.